In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Many happy returns. The great fast is upon us, and certainly this is a time that should bring us joy to those who are spiritual and those who are seeking the salvation of their souls, because this is the season of repentance. The season of repentance and making kiddah, renewing our vows with the Lord, and beginning a new spiritual beginning. The church in the Preparation Sunday, which is today, tells us about three things during this journey of this great fast. And this journey of the great fast is the journey of our life. And it says we have three primary activities in our life that help us in our relationship with God and help us have a relationship with Him. The first is prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. Right? Prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. And you know, one person once asked the Lord, "Lord, what can I do to inherit the kingdom?" And He said to them, "You know the commandments, to love." Or no, they asked the Lord, "What is the commandment?" And He summed up the whole commandment in two commandments. What are they? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Right. So when we pray, it shows that we love God. Right? When we fast, we show we love God by disciplining our body. And when we give alms or do charitable deeds, we show God that we love whom? We love our brethren, right? There are many types of almsgiving or giving in the Bible that the Bible mentions. There's, for example, the sacrifices of the Old Testament. There are people who are called and asked to bring their offerings to the priest there and to either burn it on the altar of sacrifice and so on. So there are many offerings of the Old Testament, and people came and gave those. We also have the offering of the tithes, where the people were required to give 10% of their income for the sustenance of the temple worship. And we also have the first fruit, where the first of everything went to the Lord. Even the first of their children were consecrated to the Lord. They'd say the first one, the firstborn, would be set aside to the work of the things of God. And then later, after Moses came and they established kiddush, some order in the worship, the people of Israel and God told them to sanctify the tribe of Levi. One tribe among the 12 of you will be responsible for this. So this became a consecration or a type of first fruit that they offered. There's also the almsgiving or the charitable deeds. And this can come in many ways. Yes, of course, money is one of them, but it can also come if offering food to those who are hungry. It could be a particular good that I have or that I do. I make a good or a service when I can go and help someone in any kind of way that I am perhaps gifted at, I can help another. All of these are giving to those who are in need. And when we speak about almsgiving, this is what I mean. Of giving to those who are in need. There are a lot of people that are in need, but maybe not everybody is poor, right? There are a lot of people who are in need, but not everybody is not poor monetarily. And the Lord here, when He spoke about giving in the gospel, He told us and He warned us not to be like the Pharisees and the hypocrites when we give our charitable deed to be seen by men. So if we think about it, there are a couple of ways in which we can give. There's giving publicly to be seen by people. It's like, somebody who's wealthy perhaps gives a check, right, to some donation or charitable thing. They put it on the news and they have like this big, picture of the check of how much they donated. They take a picture. This is all for publicity and for the praise of men. And they have their reward. Then you can give openly, but quietly. So I'm giving openly, but not to be seen. And if I'm seen, it's okay. What can I do about it, right? So I can do things openly, but with the intent of not being seen. Then I can also give privately that I might be seen by a few. You know, I've had some people who would come to me and say, "Abuna, this is a donation kiddush to the church." And I don't, when somebody does that, I like to take the check and put it in my pocket. I don't care about what's in there. I don't even know what people give. I put it in my pocket and I give it to the treasurer. That's it. But sometimes some people come and they'll say, Abuna, I want to give this check. And they open it in front of me and then close it and then put it, and I put it in my pocket. So here I'm doing it privately, but to be seen by a few, right? Perhaps this few are the people that I want favor from, or that I want them to look at me favorably. Also, I can give privately not to be seen. And come on, this would be the best scenario where I can give privately not to be seen. Perhaps I told some of you before about there was a church in Florida that when it was starting out back in, I think, the 80s, they needed some things, Yanni, for the church. Just if you recall, when those who were here, when the church was being built, they asked for donations for many different things in the church outside of the construction. So the priest there is a very godly man. He told the people, okay, these are the items that we need. We need like a chandelier for the entrance. We need, this for this. He had a list, and he told them, I don't want anybody to come and bring them, Yanni, to me. But we're going to leave the church open a couple of hours, before Ashaya, and a couple of hours maybe on Thursday or whatever. And when you come, I want you to come, drop off, Yanni, your offering, and leave. At a time where nobody, was in the church. Why? To get the people to understand that when I give anonymously. Why? So when the Lord sees my giving anonymously, I will be rewarded in heaven by Him and Him alone. And believe me, no one will be indebted to God. So I'd like to speak just a few kiddah principles about almsgiving. And then God willing, next week I'll speak to you about the treasures of almsgiving. What do we gain from giving? Because it's really a beautiful virtue. Number one, we have to understand that when we give, everything that we have is His. Everything that we have is His. Look what it says in Psalm 89. The heavens are yours and the earth is yours. The world and all its food and fullness that you have founded them. So he's saying that you have founded the whole earth and the world is yours. And everything belongs to you, those things on earth and those things in heaven. And also St. Paul says the same. And he poses this question towards the Corinthians and to us. And he says, and what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as though you did not receive it? So he's saying, what do you have that you didn't receive? And if we think about it, everything that we have, I received from someone or somebody else outside of myself, right? Nothing came from me in and of myself, right? I have the gift of knowledge to get me through school. This is from God. I have a family to support me while I go through school. This is Bardur. We have somebody else that's helping us, right? I have other students in the class who perhaps help me. This is outside of me, right? The job that I have is given to me as an opportunity. The business that I own is being successful by God's blessing, right? Everything that we have comes to us from God and from those who are around us. That's why if you pay attention in the liturgy, right after, perhaps maybe we don't listen to this part because we're busy kneeling down, right after Amin, 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 right? Fi hatta salat kida ba'da kida, that we're supposed to be standing up for, and then after this is when we kneel down when the deacon says, worship God in fear and trembling. Fanharda, I want you to pause kida a little bit before you kneel down after Amin, Amin, Amin. I know kalina kida, we say it with all of our breath because this is my last breath before I get to sit down, okay? But today, I want you to say Amin, Amin, Amin. Stand up for a little bit and listen to the prayer. And then when the deacon says, worship God in fear and trembling, I want you to kneel down. And he says what? We offer unto you your gifts from what are yours. We are telling God that the gifts that we come to offer today as a sacrifice, whether it be the gift of service or the gift of money or the gift of doing any other kind of function in the church or serving as a deacon and so on, I'm coming to offer you this because this is yours. We come to you offering the gifts that are yours. And actually, if you think about it, this whole idea of giving is an exchange, it's a trust. If we say that everything we have is not ours, and it's God's, then God is entrusting us with all these items that we have and we own, right? So then when we give it back to Him, it's as if like He's trusting us to use it wisely, and we're showing Him that we are faithful and trustworthy when we offer it back to Him, right? Everything we have is from Him. Number two is almsgiving ought to be done with joy. It shouldn't be done grudgingly or like feeling like I'm being twisted, my arm is being twisted, or I feel like I have to do this or else God is not going to bless me. It's not really like this. Because we see people that perhaps don't give it all and God blesses them and they have. But what they have is not with God's blessing. Right? What they have is not with God's blessing. That's why it says, St. Paul says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves the cheerful giver. When I give cheerfully. And I know many of you, most of you are very generous givers, based on like the 12%. Many of you are very generous, so I know I'm speaking to the choir, but still, I'm sure there's some that aren't. I'm speaking to those. Those who are tried giving before, and we see the joy of those to whom we give, and just the fact that I know that I'm helping someone else in a difficult situation gives me myself joy as well, right? So God loves the cheerful giver, and believe me, the giver when he gives, he himself will be happy and joyful as well. Number three is the reward we receive for giving is proportionate to the ease by which we give. Let me say that again. The reward we receive from giving, so what we get back from giving, is proportionate to the ease by which we give. How easy is it for me to give, and how difficult is it for me to give? St. Paul says what? But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So this, he who like is planting something, putting seeds down, very sparingly, and kiddah is very stingy, will also reap sparingly. So I've only put a couple of seeds in the ground for some kind of fruit tree. I only have a few chances to get that fruit. But if I sow a lot of seeds, then the chances that I'll get the return on my investment will be greater, right? So he's saying the same. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So when the more that I give, who is the one that would benefit the most? It's me. And it's based on how easy I give. Am I stingy when I give, or do I give liberally? Of course, remember all the story of the woman who gave the two mites, right? The Pharisee kiddah, he put his, or the rich people, they put their belly out and they gave like maybe hundreds of dollars, we don't know what it was in the offering, and Christ was looking, okay, khalas. And then he saw a woman who came and put like the equivalent of less than two pennies, two mites, right? And she put this in. And then the Lord turned and praised her. And he said what? Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. So these two mites in Christ's eyes are worth more than everything else that everybody put in combined. Why, Lord? Why these two mites? For all these gave out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. So she gave easily, even to the point where it hurt. Perhaps she said this was a poor widow, and she gave everything. So meaning what? She's not sure how she's going to eat tomorrow, because she gave what she had today, right? So the more the reward we get from giving is proportionate to how easy it is for us to give. Also, number four is alms must be sacrificial if they are to be of any spiritual significance or benefit. So the alms that we give, there must be sacrificial. Meaning what? Like this widow who gave and sacrificed something of herself. Okay, so how can we perhaps do this nowadays, right? Because most of us have more than two pennies. Suppose I have an allowance that I get from my parents, and this is something that I want. And I have an opportunity to give to somebody who is in need or a certain cause, right? And I can choose to give to that cause and forego the thing that I want for a time, right? So I delay getting what I want in order to help somebody else. This is a sacrifice. You know, there are many times, there was a time when we were, the church was in need of was collecting any donations, and somebody came and said, Abuna, this is a certain so-and-so amount of money that I want to give to the church for this cause. I was going to use it as a down payment for a car, but I'll wait for the car and I'll give it yani, to the church. So this is what I'm speaking about, where there's a sacrifice. And this becomes, when I do this, this has a spiritual significance. Right? There's some element of discipline and there's a greater reward for this. But if everything that I give is always from what is left over, from the abundance, right? Then perhaps we lose that element of sacrifice. Yes, there's still a blessing, of course, but then we still lose the element of the blessing. That's why the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And this leads me to the next point, which is the one who gives to the poor or needy is the one who profits. As we said, the one who gives is the one who profits in the end. Number six, a soul that seeks a reward from people will receive only that. The soul that seeks a reward from people, that's all they will get, is the reward from people. The Lord gives us, again, in the passage of today, He says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So what is the Lord Jesus saying here? The reward that they sought after was the glory of men, and they received that. But what about your glory? What about your reward? He says, no, you only get one. They got what they wanted is what they got. They wanted glory from people, they got the glory from the people. They didn't want glory from me, or else they would have offered it differently. They would offer it the way that I want it to be offered, not the way to get the glory. What's the problem of searching after the glory from other people when I give? Number one, it's limited, and number two, it's not guaranteed. When I go and give and people see and I want that glory and praise that comes from men, they will, some of them will praise you and say, ah, look at that person, he's so generous, such a kind person, yada, 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 and all of this thing. Then a couple of days later, 2 weeks later, a month later, do you think they remember? Alas, it's over. It's just a moment of this satisfaction that I'm good. And then it's forgotten. And then I said, sometimes it's not even guaranteed. I can try to give in front of everybody else, and then some people may not even take notice, right? So then the motive was wrong. I didn't get what I was after, and then I lost the blessing from the Lord as well. So giving for the sake of receiving the reward from others, it doesn't benefit us. It doesn't benefit us. But yet it puffs our ego at the end. Therefore, let our alms be given and our charities be given in secret. The next one is every good thing becomes more pleasing when it is hidden by us and revealed by God. I'll repeat it again. Every offering that I give becomes more pleasing when it's hidden by us and revealed by God. Listen to what he says in the first verse of the gospel. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deed before men to be seen by them. Don't do your charitable deed to be seen by them, by men. But when you do it secretly, your Father will reward you openly. Your Father will reward you openly. For when we hide, and then He reveals openly. And which would we rather have? The praise that lasts a couple of days or a few moments here, or the praise from God that lasts eternity? That lasts eternity in the kingdom to come. I think the latter. Also, if we remember the story in Acts chapter 5 about a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, right? They came, and at the time, the church, the people in the church said, we're going to sell what we have, put it at the feet of the disciples, and then they will distribute to everyone evenly, so there'll be nobody in need. What was the problem with these two individuals, this couple? Yes, they gave, but what happened? They talked among themselves and said, okay, we'll sell our land, keep back a little bit for us, and give some to the disciples. Okay, what's wrong with that? Isn't this what we all do now anyways? Yes, this is what we all do now anyways. But why was their life taken because of this, and perhaps ours was spared? Is because they had agreed to be among those who would sell everything. And that's why St. Peter, when he rebuked them, said that you were lying to the Holy Spirit. You're making a testament by coming today. It was better for them not to come. But they came today claiming and publicly saying that we sold everything we have and this is all that we have. So they lied. They wanted the praise of being among those who sold everything, but yet they wanted to hold back some for themselves. It says, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. They only brought some because they wanted the praise of men. They tried to hide their offering from God, basically. And then the Holy Spirit revealed them that they were doing this. So when it's our chance, it's better for us and more pleasing to God that we hide our offering and it's revealed by Him. That's why we don't pass around a tray any longer. We just put a box. Nobody needs to know. I've been to churches where they pass around an offering tray that is open. So if you perhaps I'm sitting next to, I'm like a student or and I'm sitting next to somebody who perhaps is well established and wealthy, and he puts in a $100 bill, and I'm next to him, I'm going to put in a dollar because then I'm a student, poor student, and I don't have anything. But I can put in a dollar. But how would I feel putting a dollar after on top of the 100? I might lift up the 100, put the dollar underneath, and put the 100 on top. Right? Let your offering be done in secret, because it's more pleasing when we hide and God reveals. There's a similar story, and this kind of applies to many things in our life, that the Lord said, and I'll close with this story. It comes from Luke chapter 14. It's about hiding and God being the one to reveal. He says, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast or any feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him came and say to you, come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The same principle goes in our giving. If I go and give so that I may be praised and exalted, then he will humble us. But if I begin with humbling myself and doing it in secret, then he will exalt us, sometimes here on earth and certainly in his kingdom. So we spoke about a couple of principles of almsgiving. We said that everything good comes from him. We said, or everything we have comes from him. Almsgiving ought to be done with joy and pleasure. The reward we receive from giving is proportionate to how easy we let go. The alms must be sacrificial if they are to have any spiritual significance. The one who gives to the poor or needy is the one who profits in the end. A soul that seeks a reward from people will receive only that which they sought after. And every good thing becomes more pleasing when it is hidden by us and revealed by God. God willing, next week we'll speak about the treasures of giving and what blessings we receive when we offer to others. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.